Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Naps Effect podcast. It's going to be a fun one. We're going to talk about the recently concluded first game of Gilas in the FIBA Asia Cup qualifiers where they beat Hong Kong. We're back with a back-to-back guest. You guys will know if you watched the last episode, which was pretty good, shall we say. But before we get to that first, a quick word from our sponsor, GetBlue.
Attention Ateneo enthusiasts. The thrill of UEAP Season 86 second semester sports is here, and Loyola Heights is buzzing with excitement. Now is the perfect moment to become a crucial part of the Ateneo six-man, cheering the varsity team to victory. Don't just watch. Immerse yourself in the passion, the camaraderie, and the sheer amazement of the games. And what better way to manifest your unyielding support than by flaunting the latest gear from GetBlue? The brand new collection is a testament to the spirit of Ateneo, capturing the essence of victory and the pride that comes with being part of something extraordinary. Visit the link in our bio for an exclusive look at GetBlue's latest collection. Discover a range of high-quality apparel, from shirts to accessories, designed to elevate your game day experience. Show off your team colors and immerse yourself in the Blue Eagles' journey with pride. This season, it's not just about watching. It's about being seen as a true Blue Eagle supporter. GetBlue is your gateway to showcasing your loyalty, passion, and love for the game. Elevate your style and let the world know where your heart truly belongs. Get ready, get set, and get geared up with GetBlue.
Okay, Josh, listen, man, you're a man of the people. I mean, I've been doing this podcast like, what, 2 years at this point? I have you on, and suddenly I have my best performing episode on YouTube. You're a man of the people, man. People love you. That's why I had to have you back.
Let's not get too carried away. Some people some people still call me a Pinoy beta, but like, everyone's entitled to an opinion. Happy to be back. Thank you for inviting me back.
Oh, you're always welcome at this point, bro. And the Pinoy beta stuff, that's nonsense to begin with. Everyone knows. When you were talking about the Gilas Pilipinas team, everyone knows you know what you're talking about. You do your research, you watch the games, our group chat, the people there know exactly what you're talking about too. I'm happy you've been active the last few days, but definitely great to have you back on here. Fun game if you're a Philippines fan, of course. First half may be a little dicier than you would have expected. Gotta give credit to Hong Kong. They came out with that 2-3 zone defense in the second quarter, and for a moment there, a more experienced Gilas team didn't look like a bunch of pro players, right? But the third quarter comes around, Hong Kong gets cold. Scottie Thompson keeps flaring up that high post in 2-3 zone, keeps on kicking it out. Brownlee, three-pointer. Malonzo, three-pointer. Newsom hit a bucket, and he had 9 assists today. Scottie did. Kiambao ends up exploding there in the fourth quarter. Some might say, oh yeah, you know, he was like a looter in a riot to some degree because he was getting those points when it was a blowout already and whatnot. But then if you just saw the way he was playing, it was clear as day. The talent is there. The versatility is there. Exactly why so many people are excited for this guy, right? And he performed great, in my opinion, there in that fourth period. Justin Brownlee just... You look up and he has 16.7 rebounds, 7 assists, and you're like, wow, this guy was like, you can see why Coach Tim loves this guy, why Hinebra fans here in the Philippines love this guy. He's just Mr. Consistent, Mr. Automatic. Like, probably the quietest 16-7-7 game I've seen from him like ever, just because of how he performed. And then Kai Soto, not great shooting from the field, but awesome rebounding the ball, protecting the rim. Only 2 blocks, but the way he protected the rim, those 2 blocks don't really show how well he was in the defensive end. He knew he was taller than everyone in the Hong Kong front line, and he was just taking advantage of it. Dwight Ramos, silent game, but still pretty good. And Chris Newsom, I thought, had these moments. Malonzo had 11 points quietly as well. Just overall, a great game for the Philippine team, particularly in the second half. They won a game they were supposed to win. And now they gather some momentum as they come home to Manila in preparation for Chinese Taipei over the weekend.
Some things I noticed from that game, of course. I remember halftime reading all the tweets. It's a good thing about Twitter. You get to see a lot of opinions from a lot of fans. I think you can distinguish very quickly, you know, who are basketball coaches and who are, you know, just general fans, of course. And the generality I was reading was, how do you break down a 2-3 zone defense? You know, Coach Tab in the first half, was trying to break it down with runners to the corner. Very much how he's probably used to breaking down a zone in the PBA. But you got to ask the question, sorry. Why are Hong Kong playing a 2-3 zone in the first place? Simple fact is they can't match up man-to-man with Philippines. They don't have a player tall enough to deal at the center role, Kai Soto. They don't have a power forward who's equipped to defend Justin Brown in the perimeter, but also in a mismatch in the block. So they have to go to a 2-3 zone. You only play a zone defense if, you know, at a very amateur level, if the other team's not a great three-point shooting team, or like you said, in this case, you're in foul trouble or you're mismatched. But when you get to elite pro basketball, zone defenses are used left, right, and center to put players off if they're conducted in a very, very strong way. This wasn't the case. Now, going back to that question, how do you break down zone defense? You alluded to this already, Naveen. It's old-fashioned high-low. So personally, how my dad used to play against zone defense was the old-fashioned way is to put your four-man power forward at the high post, flash high, and that way you enter the ball to him. You can either kick out the shooters or you can dump down to your five who will usually play block-to-block. They didn't quite do that in this case, but they used Scottie Thompson at the high post, and they did that once in the third quarter. It was the very first play. You saw what happened. Thompson got a high post, dumped down to Kai, two free throws. But where Gilas ran away with this, Hong Kong, their offense ran out of ideas. You know, you got Duncan Reed trying to bring Kai Soto away from the basket. Boom, but if all you're trying to do is pick and roll and go for perimeter shots, you're not getting anything inside the key. Gilas did a phenomenal job of creating turnovers, but converting those turnovers into transition points. If you saw, they played a very quick tempo in the third quarter, but it all came down to defense. I would say there's a lot to learn from this game, but if you compare Hong Kong with Chinese Taipei, it's two different teams. I think Tab's probably going to, Tim Kong is probably going to go back to his principles, you know, the triangle offense, the spacing, to try and manipulate players in the corner, whether that is Justin Brownlee, whether that is, I'm not sure who else he'll have out there, but you could probably play that style against Chinese Taipei. Hong Kong were a very, very different team. They had to adapt. They adapted in different ways. The game was, we said this yesterday, Gilas were expected to win that game.
Yeah, for sure. And the transition opportunities opened up for the national team of the Philippines as well during the third quarter as they started getting stops. Hong Kong was a little more on point with their three-point shot in the second period. Gilas actually started the game up 9-0. Then Hong Kong inched their way back, made it a contest. Seven turnovers in the first half didn't help the Philippines as well. But by the third period, like you said, Hong Kong just ran out of juice and offense. There were some possessions where they just clearly were trying to make something up on the fly in terms of getting a good offensive look. And Gilas defense was stifling them. So overall, that third period where Gilas outscored Hong Kong, I think that was 30-9 maybe, or 30-7, just really wound up being the difference in the game. And by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, Hong Kong, they just went back to man-to-man at that point. They were like, nah, we just can't keep doing this zone. We're going to get killed. And still, their offense couldn't really generate anything. There were a few possessions where Duncan Reed looked just visibly frustrated because his teammates couldn't get him a clean post-entry pass. I think twice, Japet Aguilar picked those post-entry passes off and started a Philippine fast break. And that's when Kimbao started getting going too towards the end. Now, we discussed last time how you were in particular excited about what to see from Kimbao, given his reputation after the last college season and how he was coming in as like this young wonder kid for the national team. So just to read his stats, Kimbao finished 15 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a plus 9 on 7 of 12 shooting in just 17 minutes and 16 seconds. Now that, you know, I know, like you said last time, even one game's too small of a sample size to really understand how impactful a player can be. But taking that small sample size into the equation, Josh, what perspectives did you get out of watching Kevin Kimbao?
Are you ready to transform your home into a premium fitness haven? Look no further than FitSpire, your go-to destination for top-notch home gym equipment designed to take your fitness to unprecedented heights. Immerse yourself in a world of possibilities with their versatile range of premium gear, including yoga equipment for serene workouts, adjustable dumbbells and kettlebells for customized strength training, roller wheels and push-up bars to sculpt those abs and arms, jump ropes, foam rollers, and stability balls for an all-rounded workout experience, stylish and efficient cooling towels to keep you refreshed, and sport water bottles for staying hydrated in style. Fitzfire's equipment is not only durable but also space-saving, allowing you to create your dream workout space without sacrificing aesthetics or functionality. Whether you're a fitness novice or a seasoned pro, their collection caters to all levels. And here's the real game changer. As a special treat for our podcast listeners, we're offering an exclusive 10% off on your purchase. Simply use the code word NAVSEFFECT10 upon checkout at www.sunbeamslifestyle.com. It's our way of saying thank you for choosing Fitspire. But that's not all. For an even more seamless experience, download the Sunbeams Lifestyle app, available on both iOS and Android platforms. Browse their collection, stay updated on fitness trends, and exclusive deals. Transform your fitness routine from ordinary to extraordinary with Fitspire. Don't just dream about your fitness goals, achieve them in the comfort of your own home. Visit www.sunbeamslifestyle.com, use code NAVSEFFECT10, and let Fitspire be your fitness companion on this incredible journey.
There's definitely a lot to like about the kid. You know, you can see the flair in his game. Again, I have to be, it's very tough because I never pretend to be a basketball expert. I never tend to be someone who reads stats and, you know, acts like I know what I'm talking about. You know, my father was a great professional basketball coach, but I'm nowhere near his level of knowledge. And, you know, watching him today, like I said, can understand why there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of excitement. He looks like he's going to be a very, very good player. The opponent today was a very different opponent. It's, you know, to really have a full assessment of Kim Bowers, you know, we got to see him first up against Chinese Taipei. They'll be bigger. They'll be a little bit more organized. They'll probably be a little bit more technical. I think Kim Bao, it's a question of, you know, is he going to have very much a PBA mindset of playing, or is he going to have the international structure mindset? And, you know, when you go up against Chinese Taipei, you know, those players play in the, I think it's the T League or the Plus League as well. They'll represent some very good teams. But from what we've seen today, I can concur that he seems like a bright talent. But the question is, how far is he going to progress? That's going to be the bigger question because, you know, we see this right now with Kai Soto. I think 4 or 5 years ago, people are talking about Kai Soto going to the NBA. Kai is still a very, very good player, but he's playing in the B League right now. So he hasn't met those expectations. So, like I said, I need a little bit more time to really fully assess Kim Bao.
Speaking of Kai, I liked how he was playing with more force in this contest. Now, part of that is maybe because Hong Kong's front line, when it comes to matching his size, was really non-existent. That's how he was able to pull down 15 rebounds so easily. He had 10 by the end of the first half, I believe. I think he had like 9 or 10 by the end of the first half. But you did say in our last podcast that watching Kai Soto in the B League, there was an improvement factor there. Did have a pair of double-doubles in his last few B League games before playing for Gilas. And you just saw a little bit more, at least from my perspective, a confident slash assertive Kai Soto compared to what we've seen before. Now, what you're saying is right. Quality of opponent, Hong Kong, Chinese Taipei, very different. You add New Zealand into the mix, their other groupmate in this scenario, it gets even a little more tricky down the line. But in terms of stepping stones into what you want to see these players, particularly Kai, develop into eventually, I have to admit, I was at the least encouraged by some of the assertiveness I saw out of him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, a double-double is always a good number, you know, regardless of who you play against. I think when Kai had the most of his points over from the free throw line, stepping up to charity stripe is always big. In that game with Yuki Kawamura, they played, I was commentating this game, it was against Chiba Jets. And, you know, he went to the free throw line, I think twice in the last minute. And, you know, whenever you have a big man who's taking the pushes, the bangs, the pound-ins, and it's very tough to then go to the free throw line and deliver. But, you know, that's something consistency we've seen an improvement in Kai's game. Kai's area of development, and we saw this at the World Cup, and this was the biggest reason why Chuck Reyes couldn't play him in that first game against Dominican Republic, is that this is what Hong Kong tried to do today. Kai struggles when he has to switch and defend a ball screen, or he struggles against a big who can play on the perimeter, for example, as we saw with Karl Anthony Towns. And we did see that today in snippets against Hong Kong. So I wouldn't be surprised come the next game when Chinese Taipei rock up and down Their whole defensive game plan is going to be, let's bring the big man away from the bucket, because that's going to leave them very vulnerable. However, having Justin Brownlee out there, you know, a very versatile power forward, you know, who can protect the rim, who can defend on the perimeter as well, does help Gillis. So I think those two are going to develop a very good partnership defensively. But going back to Kai, again, I'm very optimistic about him. Just don't ask me, do I think he's going to make the NBA? That's the same question I always get about Kai Soto. I think, look, if he is able one day to get to that level, that's great. If not, I mean, there's a lot to still like about the kid. And the fact that he's consistently now representing Gillis Pilipinas, to me, is a huge positive.
Yeah, you know, the moment I posted something about Kai Soto on Facebook, one of the first comments I got was, this guy is better than Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama. And I'm like, come on, we can't do this to this kid. I mean, hasn't this kid been through enough, right? Now, you are right. When Hong Kong was able to get him out in the perimeter, a few guys were able to blow by him. That led to kickouts, paint touches, open three-pointers. There were a few times a guy, I believe it was twice, once towards the end of the second quarter and another time in the third quarter, where a guard was able to blow past him and score. The second time was a goaltending, just a little bit late. So he's still trying to get that timing down, right? And to your point, Chinese Taipei is going to try to spread the floor out as much as they can. I'm looking at the stats. Now, they were blown out by New Zealand, 89-69, also as we're recording this on Thursday. And just looking at the shot distribution of Chinese Taipei, they took 32 three-point shots and made 10. That was the same amount of two-point field goals that they took. And you said in our last podcast that Chinese Taipei will try to unleash from three as much as they can. That's their style right now. And given perhaps some of the size advantages the Philippines is also going to have against Chinese Taipei and what they might have seen from the game tape against Hong Kong, probably going to try to spread the floor out, maybe get Kai to go outside, guard the perimeter, find an open look. And, you know, whether we like it or not, when it comes to modern basketball, sometimes if you're hot from three, no matter who you face, if that team is hot from downtown, making 50% of their shots, there's a good chance they have a shot to win. And that's not to say Chinese Taipei is going to beat the Philippines, because just as much as they can go 16 of 32, they can also probably go like 6 out of 32. And that would be the recipe for the Philippines to blow out this contest for a second straight time. But I'm looking forward to see if Chinese Taipei provides a better challenge to Gilas. And if so, how will the national team respond to that?
Well, this is an interesting one because, you know, you mentioned it. I'd say Chinese Taipei and Gilas do have quite a few similarities. I think the one thing Gilas do have, I think, better is probably depth in the front court. You know, you're talking about having Kai Soto. You're talking about having Justin Brownlee, not to mention, you know, having Calvin Abueva there also helps as well. You know, with Chinese Taipei, they've still got a very young Jonah Morrison. I think this team will be slightly undersized, but I think they'll look at this game and see that a 2-3 zone did cause the Philippines quite a few problems. And I think they'll realize that once Philippines realize to go to that high-low section to put someone at the high post, have a double low. I mean, personally, I would go with a high-low and a low block, not one and two, just one and one. I think they'll probably look to manipulate that. Something I read today that just blew my mind that was, I don't know how to explain this. Can I use explicit language on this podcast?
Yeah, of course. Okay? Absolutely. Yeah.
Dumbfuckery, right? So here's the thing. It doesn't take a genius to realize that the fact that Gilas struggled against the zone is because they didn't create high percentage looks from the perimeter. They only made 4 3-pointers in the first half. And, you know, if you're only making 4 3-pointers against a zone defense, then you're struggling. There's no two ways about it. In the third quarter, once they started to open the floor up a little bit, you know, convert turnovers into transition points and, you know, at times play with a high-low, then they started to free up. And I think they made the three-point, I think they hit another 4 3-pointers in that one quarter alone. So Chinese Taipei, I wouldn't be surprised if they go to a 3-2 zone. You know, put three at the top, make the perimeter a little bit more guarded, and put two at the back. That way you're covering two areas, you're covering the high post. At that case, you know, Gilas is going to have to send someone baseline, a runner or something. But I'm pretty sure Chinese Taipei have looked at this game and realized this team, they're not very patient against the zone. They like to dribble against it too much. They're not very compact against it. They're not very organized. We can contain these guys. That's what they're probably thinking. But if Gilas understands how to break down a zone effectively by playing collectively, getting into the high post, getting into the weak areas, and creating high percentage open three-pointers, They should have no problem with the game against Chinese Taipei. But it's got to be something to do collective. But Naveen, this is something we talked about. You've got players for Gilas who are representing different leagues. The University of the UAAP, the PBA, the B League, and they're all very, very, very different styles. You know, I'm sure Kai, Dwight, when they play in the B League, they probably have different principles when they attack a zone. I'm sure Calvin Abueva, when he's playing for TNT Trop and Giga, he has very different principles. You got to find a way to put it together, because if you don't, Chinese Taipei can cause a lot of problems.
Definitely. Well, before we call this podcast a wrap, what else are you looking forward to in terms of the next game against Chinese Taipei? Any other players? Now, we discussed Brownlee into detail, but let's honestly, it was just awesome and awesome in such an efficient, simple way. And I guess to answer the question I'm asking you, what I'm looking forward to is how much more assertiveness are we going to see Brownlee take in the Chinese Taipei game, given the higher quality of opponent, but at the same time, also, will we see him make more of an effort setting teammates up like he did a lot in the game against Hong Kong on Thursday night?
Always gonna have to. I mean, look, I got into a lot of trouble for this. I wouldn't say trouble. I think I got a lot of criticism when I tweeted last year after the Lebanon game in the World Cup qualifiers that personally I felt Justin Brownlee should have been the naturalized player at that time over Jordan Clarkson. Listen, I said that because Gilas don't have a natural power forward, and he is possibly one of the best power forwards when it comes to FIBA Asia. Rightfully so, they did go with Jordan Clarkson for the World Cup, as we saw in the game against China. But Justin Brownlee, for me, I think he'll know, he'll have to identify in this game against Chinese Taipei. We're up against a very disciplined, very well coached and organized international basketball team. This mindset of how we play in the PBA, that can't work in this game. I've got to use my teammates. I've got to be able to defensively help Kai Soto when he's drawn away from the bucket. And I have to identify mismatch. Am I being defended by Jonah Morrison? If so, I'm going to take this guy out to the perimeter. Am I being defended by someone smaller? Then I need to take them out on the low block and say to Kai, let's go high low on the man to man, maybe on the zone, who knows? But Brownlee's got to have to read the defense. He's got to be a leader. But you know, you expect Justin Brownlee to be a leader, period. He's a true professional. You know, there's a reason the Philippines naturalized him. He is just prime time.
Absolutely. Some people call him the GOAT in terms of imports in the PBA. And you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Josh,
No argument.
I'm gonna let you get some rest before your next commentating jobs. You're doing a great job so far. And again, thanks for joining me, man. Last episode and this episode, you're doing a great job. Again, like I said, keep up the great work. And you know, thanks for talking to the Filipino nation.
Philippine Nation, thank you very much. See you guys in, is it tomorrow? 2 days, isn't it?
Sunday, I think. So 3 days.
Okay, I'll see you guys that day. Laban Pilipinas.